Hey, great friends. What's up? It's Monday afternoon. Kaplan and crew just getting going. Got Grande and the Brown Man. We got a lot to talk about, especially a lot of things that happened this weekend. I can't wait to tell you guys about Saturday night, what happened with Browner. Okay, stick around. Hey, first thing I want to do is I want to thank 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com, and their the QR code, Alex, will put it up on the screen. Yesterday, I went to 7 Mile Casino. I'll explain why. I was going down to Chula Vista to a birthday party at a place on the bay right there called the Galley. I don't know if anybody's ever been there before. And I had a birthday party there on Sunday afternoon. So I was like, you know what? Before we get down to the Galley, I'm going to stop right here and I'm going to go to 7 Mile Casino. Walked in, said hello. Beautiful, man. Place was jam-packed. Parking lot so easy. And you know that they're open 24/7. That's the amazing thing. So if you're looking to play cards, blackjack, poker, and other table games, if you want to have a great lunch, a great brunch, a great dinner, that's Sammy's Restaurant and Bar right inside the casino. And it's only 7 minutes south of downtown San Diego. And I don't exaggerate when I say it because I timed it out yesterday. 7 Mile Casino, 7milecasino.com. Any problems with gambling, you call 1-800-GAMBLER. All right, let me talk about our people at Blenders. My man, Chase Fisher. This was an amazing weekend for me. I went on Saturday afternoon. I went to the Blenders store in Encinitas because I wanted to find out, because I knew you guys would have the same question I have. Hey, can I use the Blenders code, the 20% savings code, Kaplan, K-A-P-L-A-N? Can I use that only online or can I actually use that in the store? Guess what? You fucking use it in the store, dude. Okay. So I walked in. I'm like, okay, great. Because I wanted to buy those new Blenders, the new San Diego State Blenders. And so, oh, there I am. Thank you, Alex. There I am in the store rocking them. I was wearing them at the time. And when I got to the comedy show on Saturday night, everybody's like, dude, you already got the new Blenders. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, I can't get them. They're sold out. I'll explain as the show goes on. So me, Alex, and Browner, we got ours because I went up there on Saturday, the Encinitas store. And you can use the code in store for those of you that are asking. So get those new Blenders and, you know, support a local company and support San Diego State basketball. But again, that's sold out. I'll explain as the show goes on. And dude, save 20%. Cause I'll tell you right now, I see them putting out a lot of promo codes on Instagram for 15%. We get you 20% savings. So go for it. All right. Let me also thank our people at Prize Picks. So Prize Picks this past weekend. Hey, Alex, I took the dart kid and, I have this terrible habit on Prize Picks of always going more than rather than less than.
Right.
The dart kid, his more or less number was 6 for like 180s, and he only got 3. And I was like, God, I should have played him for less. I put him together with LeBron to score more than 8.5 points in the game on Saturday night against Denver, 8.5 in the first half. And so LeBron came through for me, but dart dude failed me. But what I did do, because I knew at that point that I'd already lost that play, I took Jokic to score more than 26.5 points, and I took LeBron to score more than 24.5 points. Jokic had 35, LeBron had 26, and my $20 play paid $60. So if you've not gotten involved in Prize Picks yet, now is the time to do it. Prize Picks, download the mobile app, download the app, use our code GREATFRIENDS, and they'll match your first deposit 100% up to $100. So if you've not yet started to play, it's me, Alex, Browner, and like millions of our friends are all playing on Prize Picks. And dude, this weekend, I was playing Combine 40 times, dude, 40 times. Okay. So, you can win a lot of money. Seriously. With four correct picks, you can win 100 times your money, and you can even, deposit money through Apple Pay on your phone. Prize Picks, download the app, use our code, great friends. You'll get that 100% match up to $100. All right. Last thing. I don't know what I ate this weekend. I don't mean to disgust anybody. I don't know the fuck I ate this weekend, but something wasn't moving. Something wasn't happening. And then these guys. Now, I'm going to caution everybody. During today's broadcast, I'm drinking my AG1. There could be that moment where I go, hey, pause the show. There could be that moment. I'm just giving you that right now. All the vitamins, minerals, nutrients, superfoods, and for right now, most importantly for me, probiotics, all right here in my AG1. Get your subscription. Let's all get healthy together. We're already into March, the third month of the year. If you haven't started, get the subscription. It'll cost you less than a cup of coffee every day. Athleticgreens.com/Kaplan or click on the QR code right here. Let's get to today's show. Cheers. Hey, Hey, great friends. What's going on? It is Monday afternoon. Kaplan and crew, Grande and the Brown Man, and we come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. To all of our radio listeners who are just getting with us, all of our YouTube viewers, to all of our podcast listeners doing it on your own time, our TV viewers tonight, man, we are glad you guys are all here. I had such an amazing, incredible weekend. And when I say that, I don't mean to like turn this into some like big self-centered deal. I mean, this weekend I was able to get out and I visited our friends at Blenders Eyewear, where I was checking out those brand new San Diego State sunglasses that they got, which immediately sold out. I'll get to that story in a second. I visited Blenders Eyewear on Saturday. I visited 7 Mile Casino on Sunday. I visited Tory Holistics on Sunday. I got to hang out with Browner and Lawhead on Saturday night at the Grand Comedy Club. I mean, it was like, this was an incredible weekend, you know, just to be home and actually sleep in my own bed for a few days and just be around and you get to be SD Cap rather than LA Cap. It was an amazing weekend. So just getting going, just getting on the air, lots to get to here as the afternoon will progress. And again, we are in the 7 Mile Casino Studios and glad everybody's here. Let me start off by, first of all, saying good Monday to you, Grande, and good Monday to you, Big Brown. How you boys feeling today?
Good Monday. Doing great. That just sounded weird, like good Monday.
I know. Usually it's good Friday.
Good Friday, right. You
know?
Right.
But I'm a Monday guy. I know a lot of people don't like, oh, it's Monday. You know, it's like, oh, give me a break, man. I've had my coffee. It's Monday. Bro, Monday, I'm ready to go, man. I am ready to roll. I am ready to take a deep breath on Monday. And I will exhale on Friday night. Man, I just get the week started, Jack. So I'm ready to go. Big Brown, how you feeling today on a Monday?
Solid, man. Solid. Feeling fantastic.
You should feel better than solid. You should feel better than solid, homeboy.
Yeah, man. I had a great performance on Saturday night. Two shows, but like they went fantastic. I'm going to put them up here somewhere on the internet so people can see them. Probably on our clips page. Cut some of it out, put it on the internet. It was just a great show. All around solid weekend, man. Can't complain. Had a great time with everybody after the show. It's always cool when you get to hang out with everybody who took in the show and talk about what they liked and what they thought of it. And just to catch up with everybody, it was fantastic, man. It was fantastic.
It really was. Let me start off by saying this. So on Friday, I had to miss a show, and I'm going to tell you guys a straight up for real. Yeah, I'm going to tell you guys the truth. Look, you know, we got a lot going on around here, you know, and I always tell you guys there's only three of us, you know, and I am also, besides, you know, doing the show every day and then you know, with the ESPN show up in LA, I have been in this business sided for years. And I am trying to make this thing work. And it is one of my main focuses in life. And on Friday, I had a bunch of meetings that I just couldn't get out of. And so, look, the show's in great hands when you got Browner and Grande and then throw in Lawhead. Show's in really good hands. But what I didn't know was what was going to happen on Friday. And for those of you that missed it, I need to go back to Friday before we even move on. Because a lot of people hit me up over the weekend and they said this to me. Hey, is this Browner thing with the triplets, is this a bit or something? Like, is this a comedy bit you guys are doing or what? I'm like, no, it's not a comedy bit. Okay.
Well, you think we just rented three kids?
What? Right. Like we just found three really, really good looking little half black, half white little babies, all with the J name. I mean, we just picked them up off the street. Those kids, Browner, that you put on the screen on Friday blew people's minds. And for those of you that weren't here on Friday, because I know what happens. It's Friday afternoon. You start doing other stuff. You forget about going on to the show that day. You must go back to Friday's show and see. I wish I could tell you how far into it was, because I was watching myself on
beginning.
Friday. It's early. I mean, it's early. And Browner reveals that he went to take his kids to school only to find out there was no school. Why? I have no idea. Then, because he now has the triplets, he got to watch these kids while he's doing the show. And my man brought all three of them little rascals on the airway. They are beautiful little kids. Now, me and Alex have known for a long time, but you know Browner. He don't talk about his personal life on air because he don't want to get sued by some other baby mama. So that is facts, isn't it? Right. I think you might be on mute. But my point is this. When Browner showed his kids on the air, I had people hitting me up over the weekend. Is this a joke? I'm like, bro, it ain't no joke. My man got four kids. Three of them are triplets.
Yeah, buddy. A bunch of people were like weird about it. Like, wait, what? It's like, yeah, that, listen, I don't talk about it. It's nothing to mm-hmm. talk about. You ain't gonna help me feed these little suckers. So, you know, you don't need to be knowing my business.
Alex said during the show, I'm going to text Scott right now. And yeah. I literally received a text during the show when I was in a meeting. He's like, dude, you're not going to believe what just happened. But Browner just put the triplets on screen.
I gotta be honest with you,
Browner. Like, I know you. So to me, it's not weird. But it is a weird thing, I think, in general, when you have triplets and they're all what? Almost, how old are they now?
They're three, about to be four.
Three. Like, the fact that they're four-year-old triplets, that it took you 4 years to even say it publicly. That's a little weird for most people, don't you think?
It gets back to what we talked about last week about how time fast is going. Like, we said last week that March, and we're in March now, it is 5 years since 1090 went off the air and the whole debacle of what happened. And we thought people gave a crap about that. For maybe the first year or two they did, they actually were interested in the story. But it's 5 years ago. And this weekend, Rachel and I were having this conversation because we were talking about Browner and his triplets and that he finally showed them and talked about them on screen. And she and I were like, man, we started dating right 5 years ago, right when 1090 was going off the air. And then the year later, as all this was happening, you know, COVID and the start of the podcast and everything else, that's when Browner had these three kids. And man, Browner would say to us, don't say nothing on the air, man. This is my private life. Don't say nothing on the air. And here we are now, almost four years later, and you put them little rascals up on the screen.
I got to tell you something too, by the way. You can never escape the criticism. Here's why. So she's gonna be mad now too. So for the longest time, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it out of respect for the mother and obviously the kids. And so then I finally do it. She's okay with it. She's happy about it. It's on Instagram. And then here comes the criticism. This guy left one of the babies out.
Yeah, I know. You only put up two instead of three.
Yeah.
So now she goes, oh, so what about Jabari? I didn't make
well, Jabari. Jabari, like, I would have been great if you just would have, like, done, like, a conveyor belt of children. Yeah, that would have been awesome. But you went Jabari first because he was a loud one. And then I saw the click in your head. You're like, all right, what, I got no choice today. Boom, baby number two. And boom, baby number three. So for social media purposes, I can't clip a six-minute thing into a 60-second reel.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Listen, she don't understand that. She don't work in that world. She didn't know. Like,
send her the link.
I did. She didn't care about that. It was what you put on social media is what people believe is real life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So she was like, oh, why come Jabari? And I was like, yeah, he did. Here's the show. And then she saw it and she was like, well, he should have been on the Instagram too. I was like,
Hey, you know what you do? Give her Alex's number.
No, I wouldn't put that pressure.
No, give her Alex's number. Let her complain to Alex.
Hey, go for it. I'm super good at ignoring text messages. So yeah. Go for it.
No, me too. I'm the goat.
So by the way, now that it's out in the open, Browner has four kids. He got little baby Jay. How old is she now? How old's baby Jay?
Oh, you know it's gonna be. I bet you five. Were you offended on Friday, Scott?
That I wasn't here when he finally did it.
Right.
I wasn't offended. It's just I knew that the circumstances. Listen, I've been there, man. When you know, like you're like stuck. You're like, hey, man, I take these kids to school, and all of a sudden, why was school not open on Friday? What was the deal?
It's a private school. They sent out a bunch of emails, man. I don't know. I don't open their emails because they always ask them for money.
Bad idea.
What would be important from your kids' schools to open emails? Like, why would I ever do that?
That's a bad idea, Browner. You should start communicating with them.
I got two apps for two schools. They always got something happening. I get probably 15 emails between the two schools and the two apps and just a bunch of stuff. And if it
don't get me wrong.
As individuals.
Dude, I get it. I get it, dude. I get emails all day long from Tulane. I get emails all day long from the high school. I get all these emails and I delete. But there are times when, you know, maybe I need to kind of do a better job. Anyway, look, I wasn't offended, Alex. I just was like upset that I wasn't here for it. Yeah. But now that the seal has been broken, bro, I mean, if them little kids are around, I talk about them all day long. I put them on the screen. I put all three of them on the screen at the same time, like Browners at a post-game press conference after playing in an NBA game.
So did you receive any offers from like Gerber or Pampers? Or those kids are adorable, dog. Like you got three boys that could easily be cover models of something.
Yeah.
When they were born, when they were babies, we were going to put them like in baby, because we would see babies and be like, oh, we got better than that. We could do better than that. But COVID happened.
Oh, yeah.
And so the period in which we would have been able to do that, COVID happened. And so
I was
going to tell a Blenders guy, hey, man, you need some baby models? I got four.
Yeah. I'll tell you right now, man, those babies are amazing. They're adorable. And listen, I hate to say it so like blatantly like this, their skin color of like, you know, they're just, the skin tone is beautiful, right? Like, cause they're like half black, half white, and they're a certain tone. There's a certain color. They're just a beautiful skin tone, bro. Yeah, what can I tell you?
It's awesome.
You know, you know,
I had, the only thing that's ever happened to me about in the lines of that is some lady tried to take a picture of them once, like just random. She was like, we were at a park and they were like, maybe two at the time. And she was like following him, like snapping her phone. I was like, what does this lady do to my kids? I go over there and she's like, these boys are so beautiful. Are they yours? I'm like, yeah, these are my kids. Like, can you please stop taking their picture? But they're so beautiful. I want to show my nephew. I said, no, now this is getting weird.
Yeah, right.
This is getting weird.
Your weirdo nephew, what he might do.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. So Friday, Browner puts the kids on screen and releases to the world his public life, which he never does, which is he has four kids and three triplet boys. And then Saturday night, Alex, I'm telling you right now, because everybody asks for you, as you know, and I explained to everybody that you don't go north of the eight. I explained that. Like, I want people to understand that, you know, brother from North Park does not go north of the eight.
For the bit purposes, yes. For real life purposes, Balboa Avenue.
Okay, so you'll go to Claremont. Balboa Avenue. Okay.
Mission Bay, Balboa. That's a great border for me. Oh, yeah,
okay. Right there. So I explained to everybody, everything. Like, where's Alex? How come Alex didn't come out tonight? Let me tell you something, Alex. You probably were better off that you didn't come out on Saturday night. We went to the Grand Comedy Club, right?
Mm-hmm.
What a mess I made of this entire situation. What a disaster. Leave it to me.
Without knowing anything, shocked.
Yeah. Leave it to me to make a mess of the whole thing. Okay. Here's what happens.
Who'd you bring?
Well, oh no. Here's what happens.
Who interrupted the show?
No, nobody interrupted.
Who went backstage with gifts?
Nope. Nothing like that. No, nothing like that. Let me tell you what happened. So
just, you know, we've had issues in the past.
Right. Well, here's what happened. So
it was a good problem to have.
Right.
By the way.
Yeah. Good problem. To have. But it was all created by me. Yeah. It was all created by me. Right. Totally my fault. So, so on Saturday night, Browner and Lawhead had two comedy shows at the Grand Comedy Club in downtown Escondido. The comedy club holds about 180 people. Okay. At full capacity. It's why Adam is, from what I understand, he's moving it to a bigger place so he can get it up to like 250, because that's how well they're doing. Yeah, they're really kicking ass. So me, my girlfriend Rachel, and her BFF Suzanne, we all decide we're going to go up into Escondido early and we're going to have dinner in Escondido, so we're there. We end up having dinner at this restaurant called Dominic's, which was across the street from the comedy club. It was an Italian restaurant, very nice. Other than like, it's all adults in there. I mean, it's an adult place. One family has screaming little kids. Listen, I've experienced this twice this past weekend where you're in an all adult place. Look, if you want to take your kids someplace, you want to take your kids to Chuck E. Cheese, you want to take them to Red Robin, you want to take them to a family style place. I get it, dude. I had four kids myself. I get it. Okay. But when you take your little kids to an adult place and your kids are screaming like crazy, you're going to get the look from people. Okay. Sorry. Okay. I've been there. I've done it. And I've been on the receiving end of the look. That's why I didn't do it anymore. That's why we went to Chuck E. Cheese. That's why we went to Red Robin. That's why we went to, what was the name of that salad bar that closed up during COVID?
Sizzler?
No, not Sizzler.
Soup Plantation.
Soup Plantation. That's why we took our kids to Soup Plantation. You don't take your kids to fancy restaurants or adult type restaurants, especially if they're a bunch of little screaming brats. Nonetheless, we have dinner at this place called Dominic's in shout out to Dom. Right in downtown Escondido. And then we walk over to the comedy club. Now, in the meantime, Alex, I don't have tickets. Okay. I have me, Rachel, and her friend, Suzanne. which, you know, the three of us like to travel together. Okay.
You, Rachel, yep. Suzanne.
Right. Now,
no tickets, no reservations, no message to Adam. Hey, save me a table. Nothing.
Didn't think I'd need it. Just thought I'd walk up.
I could already tell you weren't here on Friday because Jason told the show and everybody listening, tickets are very limited for the second show on Saturday.
He gave me a hard time about that. He's like, why didn't you listen to the show on Friday? I'm like, I saw Browner and his kids. I didn't hear the start part about how the show was almost sold out. So now it's me, Rachel, Suzanne. Now our friends, Russell and Alice, they decide they're going to join.
That's five. It's already a problematic comedy club. Most tables are four.
It gets Brett. Keep going.
Brett Weiss from Mushroom Life and his friend Claire, that's seven. Okay.
She's gorgeous, by the way.
Yeah, she's very sexy. Then Fat Tony and Miss Molly.
Okay? You're with all these people.
Well, yeah, because here's why.
Yeah.
Who has tickets?
Nobody. Nobody has tickets. Nobody has tickets.
Keep going. You're forgetting two more people.
Tommy.
And the puppet. So 12, Lil Cappy.
And I'm trying Lil Cappy didn't come. Lil Cappy didn't come.
Oh, okay. His girlfriend.
Tommy's girlfriend. And who else am I forgetting?
B. Thompson.
Oh, Bernard Thompson, right?
A baker's dozen.
Yeah.
Bro, no. Keep going. And then Molly's girlfriend. Lady friend.
Forgot about Molly's girlfriend. Shit. Right. Yeah. So I got like 13 people. And I've got no tickets.
Nobody has tickets.
No. Tommy has three tickets. Tommy has three tickets.
Oh, he's fine.
But Larry the Birdman didn't come, so he has an extra one.
But he has three tickets. So technically there are 11 people with you.
That we don't have tickets.
No tickets. No reservations.
No tickets. Nothing. No reservation. No. And it's packed. And by the way,
Molly and B. Tomp, diehard listeners to the show, shout out to both of you. But come on, we were talking about how limited they were. How did they show? Come on.
Fat Tony showed up with Miss Molly. They drove all the way from Chula Vista to Escondido. So I'm like, okay, guys, we're going to get in. Don't worry about it. Now, in the meantime, Adam Wasserman, oh, jeepers. We've got a full club here tonight in California. Adam Wasserman, Wisconsin's favorite son, he's trying to manage the party, what's going on. And one of Lawhead's buddies bought 53 tickets, and he wanted all 53 people to sit next to each other. And it was like, his name was Sal. It was like, Sally. And
by the way, all 53 of them showed up.
Oh, everybody showed up. Everybody.
Every single one of them.
So they got a standing room only. If the fire marshal comes, they're shutting them down kind of crowd. And I got 11 people with no tickets, right? So thank goodness Don and Lori Benson were there. Shout out to the Bensons as always. They had already bought their tickets. And Rachel said to Lori, save us two seats. So Don and Lori got a table for four. We sat with them. And then Brett and his girlfriend, Claire, I don't know if it's a girlfriend, Brett and Claire and Suzanne and Alice and Russell, they all sat in the back. Then Bernard and Miss Molly and Fat Tony and Tommy, they all sat over here. So, dude, and poor Adam Wasserman. Adam was like, what the hell are you doing to me, bro? I'm like, bro, I didn't know that on Saturday night for the second show, it was going to be this packed. I thought I'd come up, we'd buy tickets and be super easy. No problem. Didn't happen like that. Did not happen like that.
Were you thinking going some open mic night or something? You're going to Jason Lawhead, John Browner show with the great friends. Dude, that is a shame on you, to be honest. Like, come on. The expectation that this place wouldn't be packed.
I know.
The expectation that you could just walk in with 14 people and be accommodated front row. Come on, man. That's shame on you. Shame on you.
Sold out. Both the shows, by the way.
Both shows. And when he said to me, he goes, dude, these shows are sold out. You know what I said to him? How you think they got like that?
Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
Look at this. Look at this. Like, oh, it's okay what I'm doing because it sold out because of us.
No, I mean, listen, I just said we contributed to it. That's all I'm saying. Nonetheless, let me tell you what happened.
And by the way, since Monday, you were saying I'm going to the second show.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you're like, oh, I can make it now. I'm going to go.
No, I was going the whole time.
Terrible.
I know. Dude, let me tell you something, though. Listen, Browner killed it. And when I say killed it, from what I was told, he killed it way even bigger and better in the first show. And I'll tell you right now, me and Browner talked after the show. He hasn't even scratched the surface on some of the content that he was using. Because let me tell you, he talks about his kids. Oh, man, it's funny as hell. Dude, he got one of the three triplets apparently is kind of endowed the way Browner is endowed. And he's super proud of that one. The other ones are like more white than they are black. But he got one.
He got one for them.
He got one that's more black than white. And that kid, he got what Browner got. You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Is he the top dog, Browner? Is he already alphaing the other two?
No, man. My baby boy, bigger, stronger, big feet, bigger hands. He's a police officer. He make people get out the tub. He make people go to sleep. He make people be quiet. He is, and he don't mess around.
Yeah, and he got the big schvants, this guy.
Yeah,
he got the big schvants. He got more of Browner's jeans, and the other two, they got more of Mama's jeans. You feel me?
Shout out
is right. But here's the thing. When it was over, when the comedy show was over, and it was an amazing show, let me tell you what happens after these shows. You guys don't understand. This is why it's so important that you come out and support Lawhead and Browner, as Browner is starting to really develop into a serious stand-up comedian. What happens after the shows is where all the fun is. We got that coming up and so much to get to. Just getting started. It's Monday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. All right, great friends. Hey, it's Monday afternoon. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. We're in the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. I'm going to get to the Padres spring training. I'm going to get to the NFL scouting combine. I'm going to get to San Diego State basketball, which is getting into its last week of the regular season coming up. I'm going to get into Caitlin Clark, believe it or not. I'm going to get into LeBron James and his 40,000 points. I'm going to get into a lot of sports stories on the way. So stay tuned. But before I do, I want to finish the story of what I was telling you guys in the opening segment. Browner and Lawhead put on a comedy show at the Grand Comedy Club in Escondido on Saturday night. I show up like a complete jerk off, all right, at an 8:30 show with 11 or 12 people that don't have tickets and don't have reservations. But leave it to my man, Adam Wasserman, to make it all happen, okay? Beautiful. Show was amazing. Lawhead was as good as ever. Browner is, I'm telling you, you talk about like a learning curve and taking big giant leaps. Bert Kreischer would be really, really happy for you, Browner. In fact, I tagged him in an Instagram post just to tell him that you're out there working it every night.
Yeah, shout out.
So what happens after these shows, though, is really where the fun begins. Like watching these guys do stand up and laughing your ass off, that's one thing. But Grande, this is where you are really, really missed after the show. Because it's after the show where the great friends all get together and hang out, okay? Mm-hmm. Not only did we hang out after the show at the Grand Comedy Club, but then it was me, Browner, Lawhead, Rachel, Suzanne, Russell, Alice, Tommy, his girl. I mean, I'm trying to think, Bernard, Fat Tony, Miss Molly and her friend, et cetera, et cetera. I mean, all of us, even...
Was Doug and Lori there?
Lori and Don Benson, yes, they were both with us. They were with us, and everybody, even Adam Wasserman, we all left the Grand Comedy Club. I'm talking like 20 of us. Browner's got a buddy of his who's a principal in a school who's like 6'10", like big giant white dude. What's that guy's name, Brown?
Mike Sterner. Shout out to my brother Mike. Shout out, dude.
What a cool guy he is, man. Mm-hmm. What a great dude he is, and it's great. And dude, it's great to have a guy who's 6'10 and like 350 with you, because he's not like heavy. He's just big. You know, right. Did he play ball? I mean, he must have played basketball at some point, right?
He played basketball overseas. He played a couple NBA camps. Big fella, man. Listen, and no static. You roll with him. You solid.
Dude, we went to this bar. We went from the Grand Comedy Club. We walked up Grand Avenue, westerly. We were walking in the western direction from Grand Comedy Club, and we went to a Irish bar called O'Sullivan's. Again, shout out to downtown Escondido. You guys were rocking.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, dude, I remember when we were buying this house, Gary was pushing me and Mark to buy near downtown Escondido. There's a lot of condos there. Yeah. And he was like, dude, this is the next up and coming area. They're doing so much to the city. They're doing so much to downtown. There's a nightlife. Yeah.
Yeah. It's cool. It was fun. And we took this whole crew, bro. Yeah. We took this whole crew. We went into this bar called O'Sullivan's and we closed that place down. Let me see what pictures you got.
Comedy Club.
That's at the Comedy Club. That's still at the Comedy Club, but that's like right after the show. But I don't know if there are other pictures. I think I sent you a bunch of pictures, but there are a bunch of others where we're in this place, O'Sullivan's, and it was fun, man. Everybody was drinking, having a good time, you know, beers were flowing and cocktails were going. And there was some music that was being played. There was live music. Oh yeah. This is
Someone's grabbing your boob.
Yeah. It's Fat Tony. Fat Tony's got a hold of my boob. That's right. Nice. Tony and Bernard and Miss Molly and Tommy and his lady. It was great, man. I don't know how many other pictures you got, dude. But that was a Browder. I mean, listen, I love the stand-up part of it. But what I always say to the great friends is this: come to these things, because when it's over, we don't just all disperse and go home. Everybody hangs out. You know, everybody parties, takes pictures, drinks beers. It was a blast.
Who edited the filter on this one?
When you say edited the filter, what do you mean by that?
Come on now. This ain't what you guys look like.
I got to tell you, I don't, you know, I wouldn't do it. So I don't know.
There's a filter on this.
I mean, Rachel took the picture.
I look too good looking here.
Yeah, Rachel took the picture. So maybe it's her good camera. I don't think I look very good. I feel like I look very red, like my heart's ready to explode. You know, I'm squinty, you know?
Gotcha.
What you mean? Ain't no, that's my face, bro. What you mean? That's how I'll be looking good. What you mean?
Yeah, you do look good, man.
So this is Tommy's girl right here or what?
I don't know exactly what their relationship is, but he's... No, that's Miss Molly. No.
I know that's Miss Molly. Yeah.
Upgrade Tommy like that, bro.
No, that's Miss Molly's girl.
After what I saw at Sammy's, I wouldn't put it past him.
Dude, that's Miss Molly's girl. Yeah.
Tommy's playing a game with us.
Yeah.
So it was awesome, man. It was really, really great. Now, I will tell you this. Miss Molly was kind of a little upset with us on Saturday because I think she tried to get some of those new blenders, the San Diego State blenders, and I guess they sold out. I don't know what happened. I think on Sunday there was like some event that Chase Fisher and the blenders team put on. It was
a meet and greet with the team.
Yeah. Where was that at?
Probably PB. I think it was in PB.
Yeah. All I know is this, is that the blenders, Chase wanted to raise $75,000 to hand off to the San Diego State basketball team. My understanding is he took 1,000 pairs of sunglasses at, I want to say they retail at like $80 a pair. And somehow, some way, I'm not exactly sure, they sold out over the weekend. Because I went to the Encinitas store in downtown Encinitas on Saturday afternoon because I went to visit my daughter. You know, my daughter works in this ice cream shop, and it's the most bizarre thing. They've got a brand new weed dispensary, and then right next door to it is an ice cream shop. I mean, you can imagine how much business the ice cream shop is now getting thanks to the weed dispensary,
killing
right?
It.
Probably so. So I went up to Blenders on Saturday just to check them out. And between the new San Diego State glasses and the Coach Prime glasses, I didn't know what the hell I wanted to buy. But I asked the kid in the store, I'm like, yo, man, can I use a discount code here in the store? Or is that only for online shopping? He's like, no, you can use it here in the store. So I bought all of us the brand new San Diego State blenders. And I was able to use my 20% discount, Kaplan, in the blender store. Yeah.
So what do you just say, Kaplan?
Just like when you go to Torrey Holistics and you tell them Better Bud, it's the same thing. When you just go, hey, I have a promo code, it's just Kaplan. And you just tell it to them, and they'll give you the discount. So, hey, congratulations to Chase and congratulations to Blenders. Apparently, you guys sold out of these things.
No, not apparently. They did.
Yeah.
You go on their website, they're sold out.
That is unbelievable, man.
I mean, that's why they were called 12 Limited.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super cool. So just one last thing here on the weekend, because it was great. I mean, between Browner and Lawhead's comedy show and then the aftermath party and all of our great friends who showed up to support and hang out afterwards. And then the blender, I visited Blenders this weekend. I visited Torrey Holistics this weekend. And I visited 7 Mile Casino, because yesterday I went down to Chula Vista. Let me show you guys a picture and tell me if you guys know what I'm going to show you here. Alex, put up the, I sent you two still photographs. I want you guys to see this. Tell me if you guys have seen this structure and tell me if you know what this is.
I appreciate the way you're framing this.
Okay. Look. Okay. Do you know what that is? Look, yes. Everybody who's watching this, you'll see the picture. For those of you that are listening, I took a picture yesterday of a massive, massive, massive construction site. And I went, oh my God, I've heard about this thing for years, like the planning, the desire to get it done. Oh, it's coming. I haven't seen it. I just haven't seen it. I don't get down to Chula Vista that often. I couldn't believe this picture. Let's go to the next picture, Alex, if you don't mind. Because that was, I took one from the front and I took one from the back of this massive construction site in Chula Vista. Browner, do you know what this is that you're looking at? Because Alex says you don't know what it is? Alex, you do know what this is?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't go north of the 8, but I go south of the 8 all the time.
Yeah.
Is that so, Popeyes?
I don't have the other photo, but I have a video.
Oh, really? Okay. Here's a video. Look at this. Look at this video I shot yesterday. This is in Chula Vista. This is right off of H Street. So if you're right on the bay, this is H Street. Like if you know where downtown Chula Vista is, you know, I don't know about a Popeyes. I know there's a Cane's. Okay. But if you were going to drive between the 805 and the 5 on 8th Street in Chula Vista, dude, they're building this Gaylord hotel and convention center, dude. This what? Is where this, Gaylord is the brand. I think they're the same people that that own, like, what's the name of the place in Nashville? That's is it Nashville where, like, Elvis is?
Anyway. Graceland.
I'm getting it all screwed up. There's something in Nashville. There's a big, like, event center hotel thing in Nashville. I can't figure it out. They're building a hotel that must have, I don't know if it's 1,000 or 2,000. I don't know how many rooms it is. And a massive, massive convention center all right there on the bay in Chula Vista. And it's about, I would say it's about half a mile south of 7 Mile Casino. Ooh. If you've not seen this, now, for those of you in South County, you're like, oh, bro, I see this all the time. It's unbelievable. And I actually don't understand it. I wish somebody would explain it, because I'm sure there's rationale behind it. I just don't know what it is. To build a convention center and a monster hotel, it looks like it's something that popped up out of Vegas, you know? And I just wonder, when you've got downtown San Diego, just, you know, 7 minutes north, and you've got a convention center in downtown San Diego, we all know it never got expanded. What is the goal of this Gaylord project?
It's not just that. It's the entire Bayfront's getting redeveloped. They're trying to make it a destination for people, the Chula Vista Bayfront.
Because they're building, like, massive amounts of condos, too.
And that's not just it. That's a resort. Like, that's going to be full on, like, come vacation here kind of thing. That's what their goal.
Okay. Well, let me tell you something. It's awesome. Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's right. It's called a resort and event center or something like that.
Gaylord Pacific Resort and Convention Center.
Dude, it's a convention center. Can you imagine, like, if Comic-Con decides to move out of downtown San Diego, because everything could be self-contained right there? It's unbelievable. And the only reason I saw all of this is because I was at a bar restaurant right next door called The Galley. Anybody who's down that way might know it. The Galley. And I was there for a birthday party. If I wasn't there for this birthday party, I would never have seen this, because I wouldn't have gone south of 7 Mile Casino. It is truly, truly.
You know, remarkable. I love renderings. You know, I love renderings.
Oh, look at that.
Here's what it's going to look like. And you could see downtown in the background over there, full on water park, lazy river, convention center. Yeah, they're going for it, man. They're trying to turn. Mm. And trust me, dude, I know you guys don't go down often, but if you go to 3rd Street, downtown Chula Vista, that place is just boomed with restaurants, bars, breweries.
Let me tell you something. I'm so glad you said that, because as much as I was hyping Escondido, and here I am, I'm up at the northeast part of San Diego County for on Saturday night, I was in the southwest part of San Diego County on Sunday. And Alex, as much as Escondido is a great place to contemplate buying a house, Chula Vista, I'm not talking East Lake. I'm not talking east of the 805. I'm talking Chula Vista from the 805, even further west. That whole 8th Street area, dude, it's booming there. So
the master plan, I didn't know this, but here you go. Chula Vista Bayfront master plan, 70 acres of new parks, 120 acres of open space, which is like natural habitats, wetlands. They're going to build a shoreline promenade with walking trails and bike paths, 2,850 total hotel rooms, 600,000 square foot of restaurant, retail, and marina support uses, 220,000 square feet of mixed use commercial, recreation, and marine related office use, and a ton of parking spots, up to 3,000 they're building.
Let me tell you something right now.
The most important part.
As soon as those condos go on sale pre-construction, okay, I'm gonna buy one. I'm gonna buy a condo. I don't know how I'm gonna do it yet. I'll talk to Gary Cooper. I'm gonna buy a condo in Chula Vista, because I'm telling you right now, in 10 years, with that hotel and convention center and resort and all these condos and downtown Chula Vista, that is going to be one of the newest and one of the most desirable places in San Diego County. I'm telling you right now, no doubt in my mind.
It's pretty cool. There's a area down there. There's a harbor now and marina now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And me and my wife, we just go down there just to kick, 'cause there's nobody there. But you get this view of downtown. You get this view, like, you get to see, like, TJ from it. Last time I was there, they were filming, like, a music video there with, like, lowriders and stuff. It's so cool. I can't imagine what it's going to look like.
Dude, check out
around it.
Check out this bar that I was at yesterday. It's called The Galley. Dude, mm-hmm. if you look at that, it's literally right next door to the Gaylord Project. You guys got to understand, the reason I'm so blown away by this is because before the Chargers moved out of San Diego, and there were lots of different places where people were talking about where could you build a stadium in San Diego, that Gaylord property that's being built at one time, oh gosh, this is probably, I'm going to take a guess here, 2012, 2014, maybe it was even earlier. Maybe it was way earlier. Maybe it was 2002, 2003. I'm telling you, there was a time when people were talking about using that property to build a stadium, like right on the bay of Chula Vista. Mm. And of course, me.
Not floating?
No, not floating. Not
okay.
Floating.
That was downtown?
Yeah. For me, okay. Mr. North County, I don't ever get down that far. I'm like, what are you talking about? Chula Vista? What? Like, it seems so far away. It literally took me like 20 minutes to drive down to Chula Vista on Sunday in the rain. But this bar, the galley that I was at, right there, right? Everything you just talked about, taking your dog and going out there and nobody's there. That's it. And now this construction site, you've just never seen anything quite like it. I mean, this must be a multi-billion dollar. If SoFi Stadium costs like $6 billion to build, what they're building down there, this Gaylord Event Center, it's got to be a $3-4 billion project. Just a guess. I mean, I don't really
I think even TJ knows what's happening because TJ's, their most famous taco shops are moving to Chula Vista too. Like, I'm telling you, like, world-renowned TJ taco shops, like Tacos El Frank, Las Amualeras, like, places that have been just staples in TJ, they're opening spots in Chula Vista because they see mm-hmm. what's happening in Chula Vista.
Mm-hmm.
If you got TJ tacos running up into your city, like, they're moving to you,
mm-hmm.
you're doing something right.
I'm telling you.
What's
right now.
TJ what?
I'll send you the link, bro. It's kind of hard to spell, that's why.
Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
El Frank isn't open yet.
The
other one is open.
If what I'm seeing out of this Gaylord project in Chula Vista on the bay and this convention center and then all this open space where they're building massive condo buildings right on the water, I'm telling you right now that if you can find a way to buy a condo down there, that will be a hot happening place. And I know for most of my North County buddies that are listening going, are you out of your freaking mind? No, I promise you, man. It's gonna be amazing because you know how the city of or the county of San Diego desperately needs more housing. Well, they're gonna build thousands of units, you know, and it's the accessibility to downtown San Diego is gonna be great, and Chula Vista is gonna rock. I'm telling you, man,
Seven Mile gonna be popping, bro.
Yeah,
Seven Mile gonna be popping.
Seven Mile, it already does pop, you know. Yeah. But they're gonna have to do an expansion at Seven Mile Casino. Or the best thing they could do, and I don't know how they could do it, is if Seven Mile, if we could somehow put it into the Gaylord, you know, property, that would be insane. Okay. I don't know how that could happen, but that would be insane. But the Seven Mile Casino is like half a mile up. It's half a mile.
Not far at all, dude.
Yeah, dude.
Not far at all. Every time I get on the freeway going down there, like wherever I'm going, like I pass Seven Mile before I even start looking for it because it's just right. It's literally right there.
Yeah. Amazing. So anyway, listen, it was a great weekend. I mean, I know it's Monday and we're going to get in some Padres. And I want to talk about this Caitlin Clark story, LeBron James, San Diego State basketball. I want to get into all of it, but I got to just say.
Huge week for San Diego State. Huge.
It is a huge week. As a matter of fact, let's start there because we were talking about Blenders Eyewear and we were talking about how, you know, Chase Fisher raised all this money, sold all these sunglasses from Blenders to literally hand off his NIL money to the San Diego State basketball team. But when you think about the standings in the Mountain West and how tight it is at the top of the conference and where San Diego State is amongst the top four teams and who they're playing this week and the matchups in the conference and the conference having what is currently considered five tournament teams. I mean, this last week and these last couple of regular season games, it's going to be nuts this week. All right, Alex, I've kind of given you the global setup. Take us into more detail. Go ahead.
Yeah, here you go. This is the standings as we go into the final week of the season. San Diego State, by the way, ranked 21st in the AP poll again, even though they didn't play. They only played once last week. So Utah State, everybody in front of San Diego State won, and the one team behind them that they play next also won. So the top five teams are all currently winning. Utah State's in first, Boise State's in second, Nevada in third, San Diego State in fourth, UNLV in fifth. This is who San Diego State plays tomorrow. They're at UNLV, who are currently fifth in the Mountain West. And on Friday, they take on Boise State, who are second in the Mountain West. So a monster, monster, monster week for San Diego State.
Yeah, and you know what else we should do, and we can do it coming up, is just let's go to the schedule within the conference as to who in front of San Diego State is playing who, because that's something else that is obviously urgent to the story. Because with San Diego State playing Boise State later in the week, it is conceivable that that could turn into a game that might determine who wins the regular season conference title.
So Nevada and Boise State play tomorrow as well. Okay. So one of them will lose, which is huge. And then on Wednesday, no, that's it. So just that's it. Utah State doesn't play until Friday, I believe. So
okay. And who do they play?
Saturday. Saturday they take on New Mexico, who's also very good. And UNLV takes on Nevada, who's also. So it is a big week all around.
A lot could happen. I mean, conceivably, San Diego State could still win the Mountain West Conference title, the regular season title. But a lot would have to change, I think. And again, I'm saying that it's sort of unofficial. But you'd have to have a lot of things happen ahead of them. And San Diego State needs to win these next two games. So the UNLV and the Boise State game, I mean, they're must wins if you're going to take a shot at winning
the regular season. If it finishes this way, San Diego State would currently, I believe, play UNLV in Vegas in the first round of the Mountain West tournament.
When you say if it finishes this way, for those of you listening on radio, Alex has up the standings: Utah State, Boise State, Nevada, San Diego State, UNLV. So if it finishes the way it currently sits, yeah, San Diego State would take on UNLV, you're saying?
Or in the five seed, yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I'll tell you what, it's a huge week, and it's all of a sudden now it's become exciting. Is
that next week, by the way?
The Mountain West Conference tournament? Well, I mean, we're in March, dude.
That's next week. Next week.
We are in
the
March.
The first game, unless they somehow, I don't think they can finish sixth. If you finish sixth, you do have to play the extra game. So if they do finish there, Thursday would be the first game.
And Selection Sunday is like not this Sunday, but the following Sunday.
Right.
All right. Stick around. We got a lot to now get into. This is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. All right, everybody, calling a quick time out here really quickly. Hey, so if you've tried to get the blenders, the new San Diego State blenders, where Chase Fisher, their founder, was trying to raise $75,000 to hand off to the basketball team, bad news. Those things sold out in a heartbeat. I don't know how everybody in the world knew about it. I mean, a lot of you guys heard about it through us. They do a great job on social media. But, dude, those things sold out fast, okay? People want to support San Diego State basketball. People want to get the new latest and greatest blenders. The price is right. But I'll tell you right now, use our code to save 20% because they give out 15% codes all day long. They do it on their website. They do it on their social media. They're giving us 20%. Why would you not buy your new blenders through us? BlendersEyewear.com, code Kaplan. And yes, you can use the code in store. All right, let me thank our friends at Torrey Holistics. So I'm telling you, this weekend, I visited Blenders, I visited 7 Mile Casino, and I visited Torrey Holistics. Here's why. I have got this pain in my left arm. It is killing me. I think it's from lifting weights, like I'm gripping onto the dumbbell, and I think that's what it's from. And I know I got into a bike accident years ago, and I hurt my arm pretty bad. I went yesterday, and I see Sherry, who's the best bud tender. No insult to anybody else. Believe me, they're all great, but Sherry's my girl. And she got me with a product yesterday that it was a little on the pricey side. I'll tell you, it was $70. I'll go find it here in a second. And I've been rubbing it on my arm, and it's nice and warm, and it soothes the pain. Listen, if you use cannabis because you can't sleep, if you use it because you have anxiety, if you use it because you just like to recreationally get high, there are a lot of places to get cannabis in San Diego. 7 Mile. Torrey Holistics and California Holistics, those are the places to go. And for me, I'm using it right now as a topical rub on my arm because my arm hurts so goddamn bad. Torrey Holistics, California Holistics, use our code BETTERBUD. You save 20%. BETTERBUD at Torrey Holistics and California Holistics. One other shout out goes out to my guy, Gary Cooper. 858-376-1299. 858-376-1299 for Gary Cooper. You want to buy a house right now? You want to sell your house? You want to refinance for some reason? You want to position yourself? I know it's a tough time. I mean, you're probably listening to me right now going, bro, nobody's buying houses right now. You know why? Because there aren't any. There are literally no houses available out there. It is a very tough time in the real estate industry. But with rates on the way down, Now would be a great time if you can. And you go, well, I don't have the cash for a down payment. There's lots of down payment assistance programs. Gary can fill you in on that. 858-376-1299. 858-376-1299. Let's get back to it. Hey, great friends. It's Kaplan and Crew with Grande and the Brown Man. It is Monday afternoon. We are coming to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. I mentioned stories I definitely want to get into because we've spent the first part of today's broadcast talking about Browner putting out his triplets on the show on Friday, the Browner Lawhead comedy show on Saturday, the aftermath of the comedy show and hanging out and partying with the great friends on Saturday night. Then we started to get into on Sunday being down in Chula Vista and this brand new Gaylord project that's being built in thousands of hotel rooms and convention center space and new condos. We got into a whole San Diego conversation. And then we got into San Diego State basketball, mostly because our guy, Chase Fisher at Blenders Eyewear, just crushed. I can't believe he sold 1,000 pairs of sunglasses like over the course of the first weekend. Mm-hmm. He should have made 1,500 pairs or 2,000 pairs.
Should I get ahead of it now and just Hey King you now on air and put the pressure for Friday?
For
San
Friday.
Diego State versus Boise?
Oh, we'll have those. We'll have the glasses by then because I put in the order.
Glasses tickets. And Hey King tickets.
Oh, Hey King ticks for Friday. Jeez, I know. I can't
Come on,
go on Friday night.
You got connects over there, man.
I know. I can't go on Friday night. I know I can't go because I'm going to be, because I got this thing on Saturday up in LA and I know Friday night I'm going to go to the Lakers-Bucks game, which I don't even know why I'm going to that anymore. Like, seriously, like one thing I can tell you about.
Waste of time, dude.
The Lakers are a waste of time for this respect. They can win games. No, they can win. They can beat the Clippers. You know, they can win games, but they'll never be able to beat Denver. They can't beat Denver.
Okay, but who can?
Well, no I guess one. my point is though is that if you're thinking that the season's a waste if it's not a championship caliber season, it's not so long as Denver is as much better.
I don't even think it's a Western Conference type season. Like, what have they shown you? Like, at least when they made all the trades last year, they got into a rhythm and they're like, oh, this team could actually do something. This is the most inconsistent, not well coached, just not well motivated team that I've seen from the Lakers in a long time.
The last thing is what you said is the most important. They're not motivated. I think every time LeBron gets a record, they lose. The energy around the team just seems to be very weird. And I have to give back some energy. Because I gave Bob Melvin the same negative energy. I got to give it to Darvin Ham. Bro, you got to fix the energy at least.
Bro, like, you know what I'm tired of, Scott? There. And, Bronner, I don't know how – I know you don't like press conferences, especially post-game press conferences. I am sick and tired of Darvin Ham. His only answer to what can you do better? Oh, we just got to man up. We got to try harder. Every time. That's all he says. Every post-game press conference, unless I'm mistaken, you ever heard that guy talk about X, no screens, pick rolls, like game plan stuff? No. It's like, we got to man up. That's all he says. Mm-hmm. It's like, how about you coach, dude?
Well, I'm with you guys about what you said though earlier, which is that LeBron, when LeBron has individual records, the Lakers always lose. I mean, when he passed Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, last year, they got smoked that night by Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm. Granted, Russell Westbrook was a complete pain in everybody's ass, and Anthony Davis was moping around, but still, they got killed in the game. So LeBron has this record, and they get beat. And then this past weekend, you know, I'm glad they didn't stop the game to celebrate his 40,000th point. Seriously, like, I'm glad they did not stop the game. Like, hey, we need to stop the game. Everybody's got to kiss the king's ass, and then we got to get back to the game so that the king can lose. And I see these like these pictures with LeBron, and I get it. You know, 40,000 points is an amazing milestone. You know, I understand the number. Okay, I get it. You're the all-time leading scorer. You're past Kareem. You're past Karl Malone. More than Kobe. More than Michael Jordan. You've got 40,000 points. And I know he's smiling and he's got this picture kind of like when Wilt Chamberlain scored the 100 and he's sitting by his locker and he's holding the 100 sign. I get it. It's an amazing individual accomplishment. It speaks to one thing and one thing only: longevity. LeBron James has played in the NBA since he's 18 years old. He's 39 years old. His entire life has been spent as an NBA basketball star. His
entire adult life. He's right. Played more basketball than anybody else in the history of professional basketball.
Right. So he's got more points than anybody else. I don't know if he has more games played. I don't actually know that number. Okay. But to see LeBron sitting there, hey, 40,000. It's like, good for you. But what's good for the team? You know, because the team loses.
Seventh in games played.
He's seventh in games played?
Yeah.
Who's first in games played?
Robert Parrish.
Oh, interesting. The Chief, huh?
21 Shout out seasons, to the Chief.
1,611 games played.
Mm-hmm. Who's second? I mean, just go one through seven.
Kareem, second. Vince Carter, third.
Oh.
Dirk Nowitzki, fourth. John Stockton, fifth. Karl Malone, sixth. LeBron, seventh.
I would never have known that. That's interesting. I would never have known that.
Yeah.
That's really
These are regular season games.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's just playoffs, regular season games.
I'm looking at this list now. Yeah.
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 Playoffs?
I mean, LeBron's probably winning that one, right?
Right. I mean, total number of games played, because the 40,000 includes playoff games.
Right.
So total number of games played.
He's been to nine NBA finals. He's had two games. He's had a ton of game sevens. And the playoff round, the format of the playoffs has extended since he's gotten into the league. So now there are more rounds. So
Kareem with the most, 1797.
Mm-hmm.
Parrish with the second, 1795, and LeBron
playoff
third,
games,
total number of games
with total number of games.
Okay,
I mean the Celtics, they didn't they win 10 in a row or something like that? So
1700 games.
Yeah, and then LeBron James 1755.
Send me that list if you don't. Send me the link if you don't mind.
That's crazy. Okay.
I like that. That's interesting.
Shout out to Robert Parrish. He's just undercover, just being hanging around, just being in a room.
Just hanging around.
Yeah.
Be in a room, bro.
So LeBron after the game. Man. I don't know how we got started on this LeBron conversation. I knew we were going to get into some Padres, and I knew we were
going
to get into some.
Because you're going to the game on Friday when I want to go to San Diego State.
You want to go see San Diego State, Boise State. Which game are you going to?
Clippers Bulls.
Oh, nice. That was the one that you need. What do you mean what's up with the suite? You asked me to get you a hotel room. I got back to you, and then I didn't?
No.
I didn't get – you didn't ask – you said to me, hey, can you tell me – about the hotel that you stayed in.
Talking about the rates. I didn't need you to get it for me. I just needed you to see what the deal with the rates was, brother. It's all good.
Yeah, no, brother. I gave them to you.
I need a parking spot.
I can get your parking spot too. I'll take care of you.
I just need a parking spot.
Well, can you? But can you also provide him a badge so he can walk around like he owns the joint?
Not at a Clippers.
Is that police tape right there? I'm going under that. Because Scott gave me a badge.
Yeah.
See, that's the ultimate hate king.
I'm from the LAPD Kaplan Investigation Unit. Okay. What's going on over here? What's under that sheet over there?
Yeah. You have the CSI. I got the KSI. Yeah. You feel me?
KIU.
Right. Yeah.
Not to be confused with the KUSI. Different investigation.
Whole different deal. Yeah, I know. I'm going to have a big, long LA week coming up. So LA Cap going to be playing LA Cap all week. So speaking of LeBron, just as a quick side note, I want to hear LeBron's post-game press conference. But speaking of LeBron, so on Saturday, I was playing Prize Picks. And Browner, you got me hooked on the NFL draft and the 40 times on Prize Picks.
Shout out to them 40 times, man.
Dude,
broken, by the way.
I know. I can't believe how much of the combine I watched this past weekend. One guy.
Really?
I know a lot. I know it sounds weird, but there was the wide receiver from Texas that ran a 4.21 40, which was the fastest 40 time in the history of the combine. And there was another guy. I couldn't even tell you where he went to school. He ran a 4.22 40. So it was like, you know, it wasn't like somebody blasted it and ran a 3.99 compared to a 4.22. It was a 4.21 and a 4.22. So you could play on Prize Picks this past weekend, all the 40 times at the combine. So on Saturday, I decided I was going to play Luke Littler, the 17-year-old dart throwing phenomenon. His number was 6.
See, but that's where you messed up, man.
I screwed up.
That's where you should have texted me. You should be like, what do you think about Luke at 6'3", 6'180s thrown? I would have told you that's too much, man. The number's always at 3.
The thing, you know what? His number last time was at 5. And I played more, and I think he got to 6. So once he got to 6, the Prize Picks guys know. They're like, Kaplan's an idiot. He'll play more.
Was that a demon pick? Why is it so high?
No, No, I don't know why it was so high.
He's been crushing it.
Right, and he was playing against Dave Chisnall, and Chisnall is quite a dart thrower himself. He plays for I don't know who he plays for. So Luke only got the 3 180s throwing darts, but LeBron, who only needed 9 points to get to 40,000, I played him to score 8.5 points in the first half. I played him at more. He scored 11 in the first half. So LeBron won for me, but Littler lost for me. But Littler had lost early enough in the day that I was like, I got to try and make this up. So I played Jokic and LeBron to both score more than their Prize Picks numbers. Jokic was 26.5. LeBron was 24.5. Jokic scored 35. LeBron scored 26. So I was able to make my 3 times my money on the Jokic-LeBron play, which brought me back. So, hey, look, I hope you guys are all playing Prize Picks with us because it's so much fun. It changes the way you watch sports. I can tell you that right now. Download the Prize Picks app. Download the Prize Picks app. Use our code GREATFRIENDS. The code is GREATFRIENDS. And you will get that 100% match up to $100 on your first deposit. So if you put in 100, they'll give you 100. You got 200 to play. You put in 50, they give you 50. You got 100 to play. Prize Picks. Download that app right now and just watch how much fun it can be, because you can right now, you could win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. You could turn $10 into $1,000 on Prize Picks. All right. Good luck, everybody. Bang. All right. Back to LeBron. Let's go to the LeBron post-game press conference. I had a hard time hearing what he was saying because I was so consumed with the cool-ass jacket he was wearing. So I was focused in on that. Here's what LeBron said after scoring 40,000.
If you want to stop it at any time, just like make a hand movement, because this might be a little nauseating to some people.
Yeah.
To be quite honest with you, everybody wanted to see me fail when I got to the league. Everybody was just like, it's no way he's going to be able to exceed, you know, the expectations that's put upon him. There's no way. I seen, for the first time in a long time, I seen a commercial that was played before my first game. And when I rewatched it today for the first time, I was like, I think they was mentioning like all the greats that ever played the game of basketball. I think it was like Big O and Michael and Kareem and Kobe and I forgot who all else was in that commercial, whatever the case may be. Could be wrong about some of the names that I mentioned, but it was, and then it was like, and the next one, LeBron James, and I didn't even see that commercial when it happened, but I was like, watching it today, I was like, what the hell? Like that expectation on an 18-year-old kid, like that was insane to just think about it. And I was watching it today, I was like, I wish that on no kid and no sport to have this type of pressure put on them and everybody wanting to see you fail, so.
Did everybody want to see him fail? Did that really happen like that?
Because I felt like, wasn't everybody rooting for him?
Yeah, because I can tell you guys this right now. I can remember this very vividly. Oh, it's 2002. I want to say that's when he came into the league. You'll have to give me an exact check. 2002, 2003. And I was doing a Saturday radio show with Stephen A. Smith. This is back when we were working at Fox Sports Radio. And we had a show on the weekends together, Stephen A. and I. And Stephen A. was telling me that when LeBron James walks into the NBA, he's automatically a top 5 player. And I don't know much about LeBron's, you know, high school career at this point, other than, you know, he's the next great thing and he's the cover of Sports Illustrated and he's on ESPN.
And knowing what we know about Stephen A. now, he didn't either.
No, and I said to Stephen A.
He just said something.
Right. And I go, Stephen A., that's not true, man. He's not walking into the NBA as a top 5 player. And he's like, he is. He will be a top 5 player the second he walks into the NBA. And I was like just playing devil's advocate because I just had a hard time believing it. I don't remember rooting against him. I remember everybody's like, this is amazing. Like this young kid, he's on ESPN. He got patches over his tattoos because he's already so decorated that they're putting them all over ESPN. He's on the cover of Sports Illustrated. Like, I don't remember people rooting for his failure as a kid.
I'll tell you when people started rooting for his failure.
When he left to go to Miami?
Boom.
Yeah.
Hey, nobody was rooting for that kid to fail. Everybody was like, everybody's right. Excited about the hype. Everybody was excited about the prospect of what this kid could be. Mm-hmm. We were watching his games on ESPN when he was like a sophomore. There was no hate. There was no hate or root for this kid to fail.
Mm-hmm. This is the part about LeBron. Like, I just don't need it. I don't need it.
I know.
Who wanted you to fail? Because again, I was following the league a little bit more than I am now. I don't recall anybody, and I watch all these shows, by the way, even back then when it was like cold pizza, okay? It wasn't a thing. Nobody was doing it.
Right. I'm telling you this right now. Nobody roots
doing it at that time.
Nobody roots for a kid from college or high school to fail. If anything, we want to see them succeed. We want to see Zion be badass in the NBA. Now there might be some people rooting for his lazy ass to like fail, but coming out of college, were we all not rooting for Zion to be the next big thing?
Everyone
coming out of college, were we not rooting for whoever? Name another like standout player. You root for these guys to come to the NBA and keep going. Right.
Good point. Yeah. Well, I know. And that's just the thing about LeBron. It's like, bro, so you guys go out, you have a game against Denver where you've lost seven straight to these guys. You're at home. You're going to break this all-time record. And when the game's over, not only do you guys get smoked, but all you're talking about is you, you know, like Tim, I mean, I guess it's hard. Like,
welcome to my Laker fan conundrum. Like I didn't even watch on Sunday. I knew what was coming and I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
And I missed what, from all accounts, it looked like I missed a pretty decent game.
Yeah. So. Did you see one of the highlight plays of the game? Anthony Davis is attempting to defend Jokic. Jokic is way up at the top of the key. My man is fading away.
Chuck it from behind his back.
Throwing the ball over his head like as if he's he's throwing it in a soccer game. Not even like a shot. Like he's throwing it in a soccer game. How beautiful that guy shoots.
I don't know. And if I offend my fellow Mexican brothers out there, I apologize. I don't know if this is a Mexican thing, but that's how us Mexicans shoot the basketball. And where I grew up in Rose Park, California, in Oxnard, every Sunday, and we called them the Rose Park Lakers, every Sunday across the street from my grandma's house, there was a basketball court. It's 8 a.m. It was like a Sunday league with no league. Just a bunch of Mexicans show up and start playing basketball. And I swear on my mother, every single player on that court shoots like Jokic does right now. Like, we all were like chucking it. And if you ask anybody from Oxnard, boom, just shoot like this. This is what when I see him do it, I was like, that works. I see it.
I'm going to tell you right now, you have offended me. You have offended me.
Okay.
You said in advance you were going to offend a bunch of Mexicans. Yeah. You have offended.
I'm telling you, where I'm from, that's how we shoot.
That's how we get down.
If I go on a basketball court right now, if you make me shoot regular, quote unquote, I'd make more with shooting it behind my back.
Over your head like a soccer throw-in.
It's effective. It's unblockable. It's effective. I'm telling you, there's something about the mechanics. It just works, man.
Okay. Well, hey, let me ask you guys this question.
A 7-foot Serbian would be the one to bring it to the pros, but
right. You didn't watch this Laker game on Saturday night. Let me ask you guys this. Browner, I think I know your answer. But on Sunday at 10 a.m., were you guys sitting around to watch Caitlin Clark and Iowa play Ohio State? Because I gotta be honest with you, I can never remember a woman in team sports, in college team sports in particular, being as famous and as like desirable for everybody to want to see. I mean, there were celebrities that were showing up at the game. Fox decides they're going to show a women's. I mean, if it's not for Caitlin Clark's pursuit of Pete Maravich in this game, is Fox really showing Ohio State, Iowa? I mean, put it this way. If there is no Caitlin Clark, let me rephrase it. If it's just two women's college basketball teams in a conference and Ohio State's number two in the country, is Fox really showing a women's college basketball game at 10 a.m. on a Sunday morning? I got it. It's no NFL season. But did you guys watch this Caitlin Clark game?
I did not.
Nor did I.
Really, Browner? Mr. Basketball.
Listen, yeah, I'm surprised.
I'm going to just be very...
Maybe you don't like the way she shoots, Alex.
I'm going to be very transparent about Caitlin Clark. I think that what she's done for the women's game has been fantastic. I think it's great for young women. I think it's great for the game. I hope it translates to the WNBA. But the idea that people are trying to say that she's the greatest college basketball player ever, it's absurd.
Greatest college basketball player or greatest female college basketball player?
No, they're saying she's the greatest college basketball player ever.
Oh, okay.
Which is absurd. Mm-hmm. It's just absurd. And what she's doing is great, but she's doing it in women's basketball. And it should be attributed to that and that only. Let that stay over there. The fact that if anyone would even compare her to Pistol Pete, is like grotesque.
Well, but the comparison is fun because And look, we here. Alex is showing a graphic on the screen. She's played 130 college games. Pete Maravich played 83 college games. She just passed Pete Maravich in terms of total points. But the reason that it's interesting is because when she becomes the most prolific female scorer of all time, they're like, well, what's next? And then somebody comes up with, well, you know what? Believe it or not, who had the most points for men? And they look up, they go, Pete Maravich. They go, well, how many did he have? Oh, how many does she have? Oh, she might surpass that. And then they turn it into a story. Nobody was coming up with this story until it sort of fed itself because Caitlin Clark became so famous. Like, you guys tell me, because maybe I'm not thinking of something. Tell me another female college athlete in any sport that has ever become this famous. I'm trying to think. No college basketball player, no matter how many UConn titles there were, Tennessee titles, South Carolina, no female tennis college basketball player has ever been like this. No soccer player.
Not this famous. No, not like this.
Nothing. Tennis players are different. It's their individual sports and their pros.
I would argue it's a lot easier to be this famous nowadays too.
Also,
like,
very true.
Diana Taurasi was doing what she did with UConn, and the age of social media was around as it is now. She might have. It's just a lot easier to get eyeballs on something.
Yeah,
you know, it's a lot easier to watch an Iowa basketball game in 2024 than it was in 2005.
Ever been.
I'm going to tell you right now, I absolutely love the story. I've not watched a bunch of games.
That's a good story.
I've had no interest to go. I see Travis Scott shows up because they're huge basketball fans and people want to be at an event. I personally I'm just psyched for her and I'm psyched for women's sports. I just haven't really like gotten as into it as Fox did, where they put it on television on Sunday. All right, stick around. Lots more to get to, including let's get a little Padre spring training in. This is Kaplan and Crew from the 7 Mile Casino Studios. Great friends. Hey, it's Monday afternoon. This is Kaplan and Crew, Got Grande and the Brown Man. We come to you from the 7 Mile Casino Studios, 7milecasino.com. And I was down there yesterday, as a matter of fact, at 7 Mile Casino. Place is great. And, you know, yesterday in particular, it was raining out. And it was like, what are we going to do? And we had to go down and we were going to a birthday party down in Chula Vista. And we're like, well, let's stop in and play some cards for a little while, which we did. And it was great. So much fun at 7 Mile Casino. And 7milecasino.com is a website. Hey, before we get to the Padres, and I'm going to get there in just 1 minute, I just want to say out loud and on air, man, what a sad story this weekend about Chris Mortensen from ESPN. Yeah. Because, you know, look, I think for us, like I didn't know Chris Mortensen well at all. I only knew him because he was an occasional radio guest. And so you know, because you're watching him on ESPN, when he would come on the radio, you just call him Mort, you know, and wasn't friends with the guy. You know, met him at the Super Bowl a bunch of times, had him on the radio and Radio Row, but wasn't friends with him. I know a lot of people who work at ESPN were just destroyed by this because people got close to Chris Mortensen, obviously. I mean, crazy, great career, amazing career. But 72 years old, man, that is just, I know 72 sounds old to a lot of people. It's just not anymore. But people drop dead at 72, people drop dead at 52, and people drop dead earlier than that. I mean, it's just, but in his case, you know, he suffered for a long time with cancer. And when he got diagnosed with cancer, I want to say it was 2016. Thank goodness for Chris and for his family. He had that extra 8 years, even though I know a lot of it was, you know, a struggle and a lot of it was dealing with the cancer itself. So, I think guys like Chris Mortensen and, you know, for us, I relate it to John Clayton because we were close to John Clayton. I mean, till the very, very, very end of John Clayton's life, you know. I mean, John Clayton was doing interviews with us, laying on his back on his couch with his phone over his head. And we were like, what's he doing? Like, why doesn't he just tell us he doesn't feel well? We didn't even know he was sick. And then all of a sudden, before you knew it, he was gone. But Chris Mortensen's a guy that if you're like, I'm 54 years old, ESPN, you know, became like a big part of your life in, I don't know, the late 80s, the early 90s, if you're my age. And if you're even younger, Alex and John, you guys, I mean, Chris Mortensen, for 30 years, he was on your TV every time you watched ESPN. And he was a huge part of obviously NFL coverage, whether it was SportsCenter and reports. This is all before Adam Schefter and before all these NFL insider guys. He was the original guy, you know? And so, listen, you know, people like that, because they're on TV and because they're involved in the content we like to watch, they become part of your lives. And so just a big shout out to Chris Mortensen's family. And again, they're not in San Diego, they're not in Southern California per se, but I know he's got a lot of friends that are listening that, you know, probably just feel the same way. Like, wow, super sad. I'm sure you guys saw this all and all the tributes over the weekend, right?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Well deserved, though. God did a lot, man.
I know. 72.
So I kind of like, yeah. I couldn't. I respect that fact that he worked till like the last two. Like, this dude was on TV. You know, he'd been on TV this whole time. That's what he loved to do.
Listen, man, I get how some people don't want to say that that's old. 72 is old. But listen. For some of us, that just means we basically got, you know, 21 of them things left. I'm not going to point to nobody on the show. I'm just saying, some of us, you know, the candle is on both ends.
Well, so you know, you say it like, you
average
say it like
lifespan
that.
For an American male is 77.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, like my dad, I think my dad is 75 and is going to turn 76. And, you know, like I have a really close friend of mine. I have a really close friend of mine in Pittsburgh who's 76. My buddy Corky Miser from Corky's Pet Store is over 80.
Shout out to you,
know,
Cork.
I know. I mean, these, so, you know, it's like if all of a sudden your 85-year-old pal, not that Cork's 85, but if your 85-year-old pal one day just doesn't wake up out of bed and you're like, oh my God, and he just tragically goes, you're like, yeah, but he was 85, you know, but 72. And again, you know, Chris had been sick for some time. So just sad. And I just wanted to send a shout out and some love. So, okay, let me get back to some other stuff here. It's Kaplan and crew run. From the 7 Mile Casino Studios. He did have a good run. And I'm going to get to the highlight of the day in this segment because it's hilarious. We'll get to it coming up. But let me talk some Padres here for a second. Anybody keeping up with Padres spring training? And I say it like that because
well, a lot more than the NFL Combine, sir.
Oh, no.
Mr. I don't watch preseason, but I'll watch the combine.
Right. For some reason, the combine sort of caught my eye this weekend, mostly because the quarterbacks worked out on Saturday. And with the top three,
you can bet on it now.
Well, that, yeah. And the top three quarterbacks didn't perform. But you know what? Everybody else did. You know, and if I'm Caleb Martin or Caleb Williams, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing the combine. You know why? I don't want to.
Caleb Martin should.
Who's Caleb Martin?
I never heard of him.
Oh, well, Caleb.
But if you're out there, show up.
No, he's somebody.
Show up.
Caleb Williams, though. But if Caleb Williams performs at the combine and doesn't look as good as everybody thinks he's supposed to look, and they start comparing him one by one to every other guy, that's a bad look for him. Now, if he goes out there and he crushes it, good for him. But you're taking a big risk. Yeah. Right. I mean, like this guy.
But if you're Drake May and you go out there and you look lights out, and you look phenomenal, you can bamboozle the league the way Zach Wilson did. Zach Wilson had one of the best combines, the best pro day in the history of these things. Look at him. He was drafted high, even though nobody ever watched BYU play football. And now look at him. So you can catfish your way into the league at the combine in your pro day.
Well, but these guys like J.J. McCarthy, he was good. He wasn't great, you know?
Browner. I'm about to piss you off. I was watching something this weekend, and there was a thing where they said the NFL draft revolves around J.J. McCarthy because so many teams need a quarterback, and he's the guy. He's the guy.
God.
I'm just, I don't know if you were here. You weren't here on Friday, Scott. Like, my man, Browner's has found his man in this draft, and that's J.J. McCarthy. Yeah, that's J.J. McCarthy.
Hey, look. McCarthy this weekend at the combine. I know you guys weren't watching, but I was. He was good. He wasn't great. He was good. He was taller than people expected. He weighed more than people expected. He ran pretty well. He threw the ball decently, but he wasn't awesome. But like Michael Penix was really good. Bo Nix from Oregon was pretty good. There were a lot of guys in there that were like, okay, this guy, there's now talk that it could be 6-7 first round quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know
who was good also, by the way, in the games? Yeah. Michael Penix. You know what's good at throwing the ball in the game? Bo Nix. You know who was just throwing the ball in the game? J.J. McCarthy. I watched, and listen, I had to turn my TV off. This is why Mike Tannenbaum's on television. Mike Tannenbaum said that J.J. McCarthy should go as high as 5.
I've heard that also. I know Lewis Riddick was talking about that yesterday too.
What drugs? What? Like, did you not watch him at Michigan? Like, did you not watch him not be needed.
Let me throw let me throw something out there though, because another favorites, another of your favorites, Brock Purdy. So the thing about JJ McCarthy is he's not gonna go to a crappy team. In theory,
true.
He's not gonna go to a bottom end team like the Commanders, the Patriots. Like he's not gonna go to that because he's not that high up.
No.
What about a team like the Rams? A project, a Jordan Love 2.0.
Or go further, go down into the draft and look at Denver as an example, New Orleans as an example, kind of like in that middle range.
He would have to play at Denver. New Orleans would be a good one because they just gave David Carr that money, and Denver. He would be a good back. See, but now you speak in my
language.
He'll
never get it right. He'll never get it right.
Yeah.
If you do that, okay, I'm on board with J.J. McCarthy if that's the way you project his career. But if you telling me this guy's a top five pick,
yeah, that's
and
crazy.
You're saying, well, his stats aren't as good as the other guys, or you know, but his record as the quarterback, like, get that.
Like,
out of
well, who's to say, like, if Mac Jones ended up in San Francisco, he couldn't do some better things?
True.
Who's to say that if Patrick Mahomes, you know, Brock Purdy, you know, if Brock Purdy was on the Raiders, does he look as good? I don't know.
Look, you just mentioned Zach Wilson. If Zach Wilson went to the 49ers, and in the way they got Trey Lance, who knows what Zach Wilson might be today?
I know that J.J. McCarthy won the national championship of one of the country's best defenses ever, an incredible run game, and he won a national championship. So if you put him on a team that has an incredible defense, a manageable offense, like, can he do well? I don't know. Do you know? No. Does Browner know? No, nobody knows. That's the whole point of this thing.
Well, but what is interesting is how he was good. He wasn't great in the combine, throwing in particular.
Yeah.
He was good. And yet now people are talking about him as a top five pick because they keep coming back with this number. He's lost three games since high school. Or maybe like his whole career or something like that. Like he's a natural born leader.
Yeah.
You know, and so
hadn't Joe Burrow not lost either? Like, hadn't Joe Burrow not lost anything until he got to the Bengals?
I don't remember that.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think Joe Burrow had lost like a football as a starter. I don't think Joe Burrow had lost a football game since high school until he got to the Bengals.
One game at LSU.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, anyway, I did watch a bunch of this combine stuff.
To go back to your question,
on the Commanders, I guarantee you, in the first quarter of the season, he would have lost more games than he has his entire college career.
Yeah,
and I agree. But to answer your question, I am keeping up with the Padres.
Okay, so as far as the Padres go, I'll tell you this. I don't know a lot about what's cooking right now because I don't really watch. Although I did see the other day, what's the kid's name? The pitcher they got from the Yankees, is it King?
Yeah, Michael King.
That guy, he pitched. I had a lights out performance. Was it Saturday, Friday or Saturday? He had a really, I think he went three innings and guy looks good.
Yeah.
You know, so as much as the Yankees talked about how the Padres may have won the trade because they got all those arms versus Juan Soto, Michael King looked really good from what I saw, you know, just in some highlights and read some box scores and stuff.
Yeah, I don't care about how they're doing. What I care about is how long and how healthy they are.
Mm-hmm.
So Yu Darvish is pitching long, looking healthy. Michael King, same. Randy Vasquez, King. Your boy Johnny Burrito, also same. The only one that of the starting five projecting that has not looked good is Joe Musgrove.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Make out of that what you will.
But, dude, I need you guys to start getting – I know we got 2 weeks, but I need you guys to start getting – because no, I need you guys to get locked in because we're playing 3 a.m. March 20th against the Dodgers in Korea. That's not far.
Well, who is we?
Oh, now
we
it's
ain't
not
doing
we.
Nothing at 3 a.m.
It's not we anymore.
Listen, at 3 a.m., listen.
You're going to bed at 3 a.m.
Right.
You're getting home from the club. Mm-hmm.
What is this lineup you sent me, Alex, about? I'm just looking at this slide of the starting
projected opening day roster. From AJ Cassavell on Padres.com, MLB.com.
But if you put it up on the screen.
What did I do?
No, it's not you. This is the projected starting roster. Mm-hmm. Cronenworth at first, Kim at second.
Oh, I gotta move that around. Sorry, that's my B.
Really?
See, I'm still
wait, but why? Oh, you built that. I built that. Oh, my B.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's my B. That's my B, dog.
Okay, so that's your B.
Here, I'll fix it right now.
Okay,
forgot they moved.
Keeping up with it. I'm keeping up.
I forgot they moved. You know, when I do these things, I'm like, I'm pretty confident in my abilities, but sometimes I forget that things happen, you know?
Yeah. Well,
like that sometime, bro.
What happened during this game? Was this yesterday?
You're crazy. You're crazy eyes, dude.
When was this yesterday when the game was getting ready to start and Mark Grant from the channel?
There you go. Is that better?
Oh, nice. That's much better. Thank you.
Okay. Does that make you feel better? Because it doesn't make Xander feel better.
Well, I thought when you sent me this, I was like, is this like a joke? Like that Kim is at second and Bogarts is short. Like who's projecting the starting lineup that way? So
that would be confusing. Yes.
Was this yesterday though, where during the TV broadcast, Mark Grant essentially held up the start of the game?
Absolutely. So yesterday was on television. Oh.
Okay.
And Mark Grant and Don Ursillo were broadcasting the game, and Mud literally, because you know these stadiums are tiny. If you've never been to spring training, these stadiums you can hear anything. So Mud takes his headphones off from the booth and tells the ump to stop the game because they're not back from commercial yet for the beginning of the game.
So time, good to go, good to go. Nick Lentz, the home plate umpire, was waiting for Mark Grant. Who got his attention? We're not back yet. We are back. Ready to play baseball. I can't believe they stopped the game for you. That's unbelievable.
That's awesome. That's why I love the umpires. That was great. You know, I thought one of two things. He's going to hold it, or he was going to eject me from the ballpark.
Which I was kind of rooting for. So
that was great.
So yeah, so the Mark literally yelled down to the ump to stop the game. Yeah. Luis Campusano heard him. So Luis Campusano takes his mask off, tells the ump, like, I think he's telling us to stop the game. And Mark, literally, you can hear him, is like, all right, we're good to go. Let's go.
Give him a round of applause for the umps. That's pretty funny. Do we know yet, are Padre baseball games going to be aired on Channel 4 San Diego? Has that like been announced yet or not?
It has not been announced where on actual cable they will be. It has been announced officially that they will be Padres.tv. Mm-hmm. So for $100, you subscribe to MLB TV, but you get the, instead of paying for the MLB TV package, you pay specifically for the Padres TV package, and they will carry all games except the ones that are on national television.
Mm-hmm.
So for $100, you can watch the Padres. I can tell you off air what I heard from Gary at Cox.
Okay.
Oh.
That it didn't sound so good.
So, oh, really?
Yeah.
That doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah. That wasn't, he's not, let's just say it has not been announced where they will be on actual cable television.
Okay. Gotcha. What was the article that you sent about whether or not this is who the Padres now are? It was so small. I couldn't even read
Dennis Lynn released his newsletter. Today where people asked, or a mailbag when people asked them questions about the current team, what's happening. This is a payroll question that I pulled because I think this is what people are most primarily concerned about going forward.
Okay.
A reader asked him, is this year's payroll reduction a one-time effort to reset the Padres luxury tax penalty, or more likely a post Seidler return to settling for a middle of the road payroll team? The answer was, I'll just try and paraphrase it. I'd lean slightly toward the latter scenario being more likely. I expect the Padres to be in or near the league's top 10 payroll in the near future. They have roughly $150 million committed for 2025 with only 10 players under contract, but they lost money in 2023. Asked for $100 million loan. They got half of it. So
you missed one line, which is in 2023, they had a record in attendance.
Yes.
And they needed a $100 million loan before the Major League Baseball gave them $50 million. Mm-hmm. And just if you keep reading the paragraph, there was a thought around the organization last year that Peter Seidler's big bet hinged on a deep playoff run, which never happened. And the collapse of the Padres regional sports network also hurt. And that's, you know, we're talking about TV coverage.
So he expects them to be a top 10 payroll team, just not this year, because they need to reset their luxury tax, which is what me and Browner talked about on Friday with the whole Blake Snell situation. I'm talking fast now because we're running out of time. Blake Snell, the current Padres payroll is at about $150, $155 million, but tax threshold-wise, they only have $22 million to spare before they go over the tax threshold. Blake Snell will likely, even if he takes a short-term opt-out deal, commands more than $22 million per year. Even if he takes $22 million per year, that takes you to the tax threshold, which the Padres do not want to do, which is why we've been saying on this show, he will not re-sign with the Padres unless he takes like $5 million.
No, not happening. Not happening. Mm-mm.
Right.
I know last week.
Which is why you look at this depth chart, which is why Jerickson Profar, Jose Azucar, Jackson Merrill, that's what those guys are on the team. Yeah. Because they don't really have money to go get any sort of type big outfielder.
And the conversation you guys had on Friday when I was out was about Blake Snell being pissed off at Scott Boras. Yes. And Toby, shout out to Toby up in Temecula.
Yo, who handles, that dang.
Dude, 23,000 views as of this morning of a 5-minute video on YouTube. So, you know, make sure you're liking our
backstory,
YouTube videos. Yeah.
I messaged him the clip. I was like, hey, let's go with this one. We talked about Boras and Blake Snell being pissed. And he's like, oh, I don't know if I have time. I got to go. I got a tour today. And I was like, all right, don't worry about it, dude. I don't think it's that big a deal anyways. It's Friday. And he was like, nah, I don't know if I can do it. And I was like, I'll do it. Don't worry. And then he texts me, no, I got time. I'll do it. And I was like, aren't you glad you did it? He brags to me. You know,
I know he does.
He shows stats to me.
Right. He sends me a text. He'll send me a text. There's like 12,000 views after like 4 hours. Mm-hmm. He's like, who's your daddy, bitch? You know, like he'll say things like that to me, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
He loves it. He gets off on it, dude.
He does. He does indeed. Yeah.
Hey, foot fetish.
Do we have time for a highlight of the day here from Torrey Holistics?
I'll go quick. Promo code better, but Charlie will be on this week to talk about Torrey California Holistics. Also, soft opening of Oxnard Holistics, I heard, might be this week. So promo code better, but minimum $75 spending. You get 20% off your purchase at Torrey California Holistics. All right, this is a minute video. It's spring break time. If you're going to Miami, like Kamala Harris said, don't come. Don't come. This is the city of Miami telling you, we don't want you.
Hey, we need to talk.
This isn't working anymore.
And it's not us. It's you. We just want different things.
Our idea of a good time is relaxing on the beach.
Hitting up the spa.
Or checking out a new restaurant.
You just want to get drunk in public and ignore laws.
Do you even remember what happened last March?
That was our breaking point, so we're breaking up with you.
And don't try to apologize and come crawling back. This isn't safe, so we're done.
And just so you know, we're serious.
This March, you can expect things like curfews, bag checks, and restricted beach access.
DUI checkpoints, $100 parking, and strong police enforcement for drug possession and violence.
Whatever it takes, because it's time to move on.
Maybe we can talk when you're done with your spring break phase, but until then,
Miami is breaking up with spring break. Don't come.
Don't come.
That is
I
awesome.
Wonder how effective that will be.
It will be very effective. I'm going to tell you guys when we get to the uncensored portion of the podcast, my experience with this. This will work. All right. Listen, if you're on radio, stay with us. We got plenty more to get to. Podcasters, let's get uncensored. All right, time to get uncensored all up in this biatch. So first half of today's show, fucking no sports at all, none, zero. Like Browner
sorry,
comedy.
John.
Yeah, sorry, John. Sorry, John, the Instagram critic.
Oh, man, he's going to be so mad at you.
I know.
Because he blames you.
It is my fault. I blame myself.
He blames you because I guess I don't know if he listened to Friday's show because there wasn't a lot of sports on that day either, but he was like, every time Scott's gone, this becomes a sports show. And every time Scott's around, it's a fucking who knows what fest. And it's like, I was like, well, sorry.
Well, I know here. I think here's the deal, though. Today's Monday. And, you know, first thing on my mind is Browner crushing it at a comedy club and all the fun that we had as a result of that and all the great friends that came out to celebrate, which was awesome. And then the second thing on my mind was just something hyper local. You know, being down in Chula Vista and not knowing that this Gaylord Convention Center Resort Vacation Monster Hotel and thinking to yourself, well, why are they building it here? And then you realize it is literally on the bay. There's downtown San Diego. There's TJ and there's the bay. And yeah, it stands to reason to build a crazy piece of real estate right here where there currently is nothing going on. I drove all around that thing, dude, to see what is going on here. Nothing. You know, so they're taking advantage of an untapped part of San Diego County.
I hope it works, man. I hope it works because I love Chula Vista. I know my wife grew up there, so she doesn't love going too much, but I do. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
Can I go call back like a comedian to answer you guys' question during the exclusive? It's not a joke. Just because you say, what the fuck do you do at the zoo as an adult with no kids? You go to Torrey Holistics and you fucking just are blitzed out of your mind watching these animals do their thing. It is the most entertaining fucking thing of all time. bro, and it was raining, so dude, we were like up at the lemur area.
We were at you guys got super baked at the zoo
At the zoo, or you bring it like they don't check your bag, you can do whatever the fuck you want at the zoo. You just, and it's raining, so the animals are acting different because it's freaking raining, and it's just it's a good time. And
you guys taking gummies?
Smoke gummies, whatever.
Wait, you know, smoke though, like smoke like joints or like give them vapes? Like
vapes, yeah. I did smoke a joint Saturday night, which is, it's been a while, but yeah, dude. It's just entertaining, man. If I had a chair, I could just pop it up and just sit there, dude. Like they fed the three leopards at the time we walked by. They just gave them like full on rabbits, bro. And I was just like, what?
Rabbits that they have to chase and get or
not? No, I don't think so. Well, by the time we got there, they were full. They were full, like, on rabbits. And I think they just removed the ears and the legs and gave it to them.
That's bullshit.
And I'm like, from here to my computer, this leopard is just going to town on this rabbit.
Make him work for it.
Make him chase it.
I mean, that's, otherwise they're not going to be conditioned. You know, I mean, they're like,
they ain't going.
I don't think the leopards in a 10 by 10 cage are very conditioned anyway. So,
They're not going back out in the world. They're cool.
Well, maybe those leopards are like me. Like, when I go to a Korean barbecue place, I'm like, I don't want to cook my own food.
Right.
No.
You know,
I don't really want to chase it when you can just give it, you know,
chase it, give it. You're going to do it for me. So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I'll even give you a tip if you do it for me.
The zoo's great, man. Fucking $120 for the season. The parking's always free.
Dude, you know, when people who like to get really high and go do things, like, I'll tell you right now, going to Costco high as hell, fun.
Not a good idea.
Not a good idea, because I'll start spending money.
Okay. I'll tell you another
one.
If you go to Costco Mission Valley on Sunday high, you might get hurt.
Yeah. I'll give you another place that's really fun. You want to know another place that's fun? Like REI.
I got the Costco credit card, by the way. I don't know if that was a mistake or not, but they gave me a free tote bag.
Oh, nice.
Cash back on that thing is awesome.
Dude, like going to like REI. Okay. Yeah, it's like an outdoor. I'll give you another one. Like a Bass Pro Fishing Shop.
Oh, that's how you end up with your fucking butt naked in the pond with your little wiener out if you do that.
Dude, but I'm telling you, you could walk around that store for hours baked out of your face.
Mm-hmm. Now like, imagine the zoo.
All right. Imagine the zoo.
Yeah. And it's raining. So there's like and no umbrella. You're just different stimulations. Yeah. It was great.
That sounds fun.
It was fun.
It does sound fun. Brown, what's fun. You got anything next in terms of comedy shows? You got anything? Because I think one of the next things you got to do, believe it or not, is I think you got to go without Lawhead. I think you got to get away from him. Yeah, because you got to.
In a way, but I've been doing that. I've been doing some of the stuff at the Comedy Store. I talked to the owner on Saturday night about doing some showcases there. And just starting to do more around town. Because like I said, I felt like I am in a place now where I can be more and do more. And so
I'm going to tell you what you need to do. Space. Let me tell you what you need to do next. Trust me on this. This is what you need to do next. You need to go to LA. You need to get a hold of the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And you need to go spend a Tuesday and a Wednesday night in LA. And you go from club to club to club. You know? And you get on, you know, whatever their local shows are that night. You get 5 or 6 minutes at the Comedy Store, you get 5 or 6 minutes at the Laugh Factory, you get 5 or 6 minutes at whatever it is. And if you could hit 3 clubs in one night, that'd be amazing.
That's good advice.
And you gotta do it. You know, because that's what Kreischer said. You gotta be on stage every night. You know? Mm-hmm. And if you get 3 different sets in 3 different clubs around town in one night, be fucking unbelievable.
Be solid. It's a good landing.
Yeah. And I think one thing you should do is, dude, is take the video from this past weekend and put it up on the Kaplan and Crew YouTube page.
Will do.
Yeah.
I usually put it in the clips page. Should I put it on the main one?
I don't know, Alex, what should he do?
Depends. What's your content like?
Why do you ask?
Throw it on the clips page. Because we have an active warning that we don't know if we need to be fucking around with getting another strike.
Okay.
Here's two things that happened at the show. And I'm very proud of these two. I'm not as proud about the second thing. I am proud about the first thing. So the 6 o'clock show, I had two people come up to me and say, hey, we've seen you here before. You've gotten so much better. That was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my girlfriend said the same thing. She was bragging about you yesterday.
And so Rachel, after the show, they're in the pub, and this was the second thing. She says to me, now, I don't know if I'm getting thicker skin or not, but I wasn't offended this time. I said, good. I'm getting better. It's where she said, yeah, I wasn't offended at all. You didn't say pussy one time.
She told this story yesterday. We had a brunch with some friends of ours that we hadn't seen in a really long time. And she told this story yesterday. She's like, Bronner was so great. And she said exactly that. She goes, he did not like disgust me in any way, you know.
Talking about women.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And if I'm being honest, ugly pussies.
Yeah. I did. Yeah.
See. Yeah. I put on the clips page, man.
Yeah. No. He doesn't talk about that.
There's no ugly pussy jokes this time. There's no ugly. But there is a dick joke in there. But it's a child's dick, so we don't get weird about it.
Exactly why you want to put
it on. It wasn't a. Not a. Anyway, whatever. All right. Listen.
The algorithm may not see it that way.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, do this. Let's get out of here. We're back tomorrow. Browner, post that if you don't mind. Love you guys. Appreciate everybody. And we are back mañana. Peace out.